Welcome back,
hello,
besties. So, in the last few episodes, we've gone over the entire spectrum of relationships in all aspects. We did monogamy, a little polygamy, keeping relationships healthy, zodiac compatibility, which was one of our personal favorites, the needs of men and women, and this week, we decided it would be a good thing to go at the whole men versus women thing from a different angle. So this week we're going to be myth busting.
Myth busting.
All right.
Busting myth of myths.
Busted. So grab your drink, your snack, and let's get into it.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Right. Before we completely jump into this episode, we wanted to tell you guys about something really fun that Spotify is now doing. And as you should know, you can listen to our episodes on Apple, Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, and more. Well, Spotify now has Q&As and polls that we as podcasters can put on every episode. It's just another way for us to interact with our listeners. So every episode, we'll be adding a poll or questionnaire that's relative to the topic we're discussing, and we would love it if you all would show us some love. And again, this is on Spotify. And we hope you guys had a wonderful Halloween. It was just a few days ago.
Fall came right on time for it.
Before you know it, it's going to be the C word. Oh, I can't even think about it. But hopefully you guys got all the candy that you desire.
And stole all your kids' good candy.
Left them with the candy corn.
Them Reese's.
Okay, let's get into this myth-busting thing. When it comes to the behavior of men and women in relationships, almost everyone has an opinion. What do we say about opinions? You know. And usually it's about how the sexes are different, right? But what does the research tell us about how men and women really behave in romantic relationships? Often that they are more alike than we think and that our common assumptions are wrong. Women are a mystery to men and men are a mystery to women. But as women, we don't think we're all that complicated. We've said it numerous times, but I'm sure that men would say the same thing about themselves. So let's examine some of the most common myths about men, about women, and about modern dating that many people just accept at face value.
So myth number one, women are more romantic than men. Since most romance novels and romantic comedies are pitched to female audiences, this may be hard to believe. Men actually have a more romantic outlook on love than women do. A much-used measure of romanticism, the Romantic Belief Scale, asks people to rate the extent to which they agree with statements like, there will only be one real love for me, or if I love someone, I know I can make the relationship work despite any obstacles. But it turns out that men typically outscore women on this measure, and men are also more likely than women to believe in the romantic notion of love at first sight. Men are also known to have more positive recollections of their first kiss. They are more likely to end a relationship because it lacked magic. And they also say, I love you first more than women. As we know, saying I love you means the most to men and women at different times. Okay, hold on.
What? You don't believe this?
Okay, this is the thing for me.
Uh-huh.
They have a more positive recollection of their first kiss, maybe because it wasn't good for the women.
Well, that's why it's a myth. Women apparently are, oh, he swooned me from the very first kiss.
Yeah.
Actually, he slobbered all over my face and gave me too much tongue, and it was just terrible. Men are like, oh, yeah, she was so into it.
My teeth were getting sucked out of my mouth. Sick.
But yeah, I do believe the whole I love you first thing. Yeah.
I do believe that. And that has proven true in most of my relationships. But do you think it's because they actually feel it first or because they're impulsive and want to...
Both. I think it can be both. And just because I've heard it first doesn't mean I've always believed that...
Right.
Or it could just be like, oh, let me just say this because I know this is... Yeah, I think this is going to get me
what I want.
What I want.
That's what I was leaning towards.
Joke's on you, buddy. All right. Number two, a mate's physical attractiveness is far more important to men than it is to women.
Liza Minnelli.
Lies. This myth is based on a kernel of a truth, okay? Very tiny. Many studies have shown that when men and women are asked which characteristics they prefer in a mate, men rate physical appearance as more important than women do. However, closer examination of this data reveals that both men and women think looks are very important, with men rating it at somewhat higher than women. In one seminal study, men and women ranked a series of characteristics for potential mates. Men ranked looks, on average, as the fourth most important trait, and women ranked it the sixth. So both genders ranked it very highly, but not at the very top. But this data only speaks to what men and women claim they are looking for. What does research say about the people that men and women actually choose to date? Okay, in a very classic study on interpersonal attraction, college students were randomly matched with blind dates. Oh no. God. We don't do blind dates. No. And for both men and women, physical attractiveness was the main characteristic that predicted whether or not someone was interested in a second date. In a more recent study, researchers examined that the preferences of college students participating in a speed dating event. Prior to their speed dates, the students rated how important different characteristics would be in making their selections. And the expected gender differences emerged, with women rating the physical attractiveness as less important than men. But when the researchers examined who participants actually chose during the event, the gender difference disappeared. Both men and women preferred physical attractive partners with no gender difference in how much looks influenced their choices. So, both men and women claim to value attractiveness, and men do value it more, but not a lot more. An examination of actual dating choices suggests that both genders are equally enamored by looks.
I read something interesting when I was reading some articles about this, and a guy made a really good point. He said when you read studies and they talk about the average of something, he said to take it with a grain of salt because he said you have to think about it this way. If you talk to 10 men, okay, and you ask 10 men how many partners would you want to have per year?
Right.
If 9 men say 1 and 1 man says 20, the whole thing is skewed.
Yeah.
Based on those numbers. And I'd never really thought about that. So you have to think when they talk about average,
yeah,
you have to look at the numbers a little bit.
Take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. But number 3, men are all about sex. A man's sexual worth is traditionally measured by his ability to bed women, just as women's is measured by the idea that she should save herself.
Mm-hmm.
This discrepancy has therefore led men to pursue women for status. However, in most relationships, you will find that women want sex just as much, if not more, than men do. When a woman is in an exclusive relationship, she's finally able to have guilt-free sex without judgment. Again, because women have been taught they should feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But men, on the other hand, are put off the pressure of pursuing women for such shallow means and may appear more tame once in a relationship. Part 2 myth, women are not interested in casual sex. Much early research on gender differences in mating actually supports this myth. While overall men are more interested in and more willing to accept offers for casual sex, women's interest in casual sex has been underestimated. This has occurred for 2 reasons, okay? Myth number 1, it's socially unacceptable for women to admit in an interest in casual sex. Therefore, in surveys asking men and women how many sexual partners they've had, many researchers have speculated that men tend to exaggerate and women tend to underestimate the number of partners they had, making it falsely appear that men have more sexual partners. See?
Mm-hmm.
This is what I mean. Y'all be lying in these studies. In one study, researchers hooked some participants up on a phony lie detector and asked them about their sexual history. Participants not hooked up to the lie detector offered the typical socially desired responses, with men reporting more partners than women. But for those who thought their deception might be detected, women actually reported slightly more partners than men. I believe this.
Because we didn't want to be told that we was lying.
And myth number 2, for women to be interested in casual sex, the circumstances need to be right. It's not that women are uninterested, but that they're pickier about whom they choose for a rendezvous.
Mm-hmm.
Conley examined how specific situational features can affect women's willingness to engage in casual sex. When she asked subjects to consider hypothetical situations like a one-time sexual offer from a celebrity or from a friend rumored to be good in bed, women were just as likely as men to indicate a willingness to take such highly attractive partners up on their offers. Because why wouldn't you?
Right.
She also asked people about their actual past experiences receiving offers for casual sex. She found that, consistent with past research, women were more likely than men to report having rejected those offers, but that the best predictor of whether or not women accepted such an offer was the perceived sexual prowess of the man. Just as in the hypothetical scenarios, women demonstrated a willingness to engage in a casual encounter with someone who was worth it. The most famous research establishing women's alleged lack of interest in casual sex relied on a situation in which they were propositioned by a stranger for a one-night stand. But research has shown that one-night stands are actually the least common type of casual sex. These encounters are most likely to take place in the context of casual dating relationships, friendships, or hookups with exes.
Which, don't be hooking up with your exes.
Yeah.
Literally, as you were reading this, the only thing that came to mind is this. And we've said it before. Men sleep with who they can. Mm. And women sleep with who they want. And I'm going to reread the line that said, just as in hypothetical scenarios, women demonstrated a willingness to engage in a casual encounter, ... with someone who is worth it.
Right.
Y'all just be out here sleeping with anything, anything.
Anything.
Okay. I don't need to elaborate.
Right.
Women actually scope out the full scenario, okay? The full thing.
Most
before
women.
We make a decision. Myth number 4. Men and women have fundamentally different personalities and orientations towards relationships. This myth is often perpetuated by the popular media. In a best-selling book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, which we've talked a little bit about before, John Gray argues that men and women are so different they might as well come from different planets. The truth is that sex differences in most areas are relatively small, okay? And there is much more variation between individual people than there is between genders. And just because a gender difference is statically significant doesn't mean it's large. Simply that there is a reliable difference on average. For example, men are taller than women on average. But there is also plenty of overlap in men and women's heights, and many women who are taller than men, that men don't like. And most gender differences in personality are a lot smaller than gender differences in height. There is, in fact, a great deal of similarity in what men and women want from relationships. Both men and women rate kindness, exciting personality, and intelligence as the three most important characteristics in a partner. Focusing only on gender differences when dealing with our partners tends to oversimplify things and exaggerate the truth, leading to a less understanding of one another. Mm. So, just don't do it.
Number 5 myth. Men and women have fundamentally different ways of handling conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Most research suggests that men and women do not differ significantly in their responses to relationship conflict, but there is a kernel of truth to this myth. Some couples engage in a destructive demand withdrawal pattern of conflict in which one person, the demander, presses an issue and insists on discussing it, while the other withdraws to avoid the debate. The more a demander pushes an issue, the more a withdrawer retreats, only causing the demander to become more intent on discussing the issue and creating a vicious cycle that leaves both partners frustrated. When this pattern occurs, it is much more likely that a woman is the demander. But even this exception may have more to do with power dynamics than gender differences. In some studies, couples have been asked to discuss an issue in their relationship. Sometimes they've been asked to discuss something the woman wants to change. Other times they're asked to do the reverse. So some researchers have discovered that the main determinant of who demands and who withdraws isn't gender, it's who wants the change. See, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I agree with that more.
Yeah. When the issue under discussion is a change the woman wants, the woman is likely to take the demander role. When the issue is one that the man wants to change, the roles reverse. And we see the pattern only when the issue is something the woman wants to change.
Hmm.
So, Why the consistent gender differences in previous research? The person who wants change is typically the person who has less power in the relationship, while his or her partner is motivated to simply maintain the status quo. Ooh! In our society, men have traditionally had more power in relationships than women, so women often find themselves as the one pressing for change. This dynamic is changing, of course, but even when power is not uneven, women are choosing to press issues because they want changes, not because they handle conflict differently than men.
I agree with that.
Yeah, me too.
I agree with that.
Me too.
It doesn't have anything to do with
gender
or who handles conflict better.
Mm-hmm.
But who wants a change and who is trying to get that change and then who's resisting the change.
Right.
And it's y'all. Y'all meaning men. Just kidding. Number six, which...
This is a big one.
This is a big one. Mm-hmm. Okay, number six. Physical abuse in relationships is almost always committed by men.
False.
When people think of a domestic violence victim, people immediately visualize a woman. And it is true that the injury suffered by female domestic violence victims tends to be more serious than those suffered by male victims. And that the abuses inflicted by men are likely to be more frequent and severe. But, nonetheless, males are also frequently the victims of domestic violence, too. In a recent survey of adults, it was found that 40% of domestic violence victims were male. 40%. In one national survey in the United States, it was found that 12.1% of women and 11.3% of men reported that they had committed a violent act against their spouse within the past year.
Oh my God.
Other studies have found that women are just as likely as men to initiate violent encounters with spouses. It's the stereotype that men can't be victims of domestic violence and fears of being stigmatized that often discourage men from reporting the abuse or seeking help. But men are quite likely to be victims of physical abuse, even if it's less severe. It's destructive to base decisions about your relationship on gender stereotypes. Some are flat out wrong, but even if there is a little bit of truth to them, they tend to exaggerate that truth and are not constructive in dealing with the unique individuals with whom we have relationships. This is a heavy one, but it's an important one.
I've known a man in my life, and not someone I've been romantic with, it's a family member, that was married to a very abusive wife for years, as in she was the crazy one.
Yeah.
You know, and I agree with this where I feel like these numbers might not even be accurate because a lot of men
don't report them.
Feel embarrassed that their wife or partner is doing this, and a lot of these never get reported. But the person I know specifically, this woman not only like mentally abused him, but would throw things at him, would hit him, would choke him. And you have to think from a male's perspective, because this specific person is a very tall male, okay, and could easily overpower this woman, but...
If they try to defend themselves.
Right.
And then it could be reversed.
Right. And if you try to defend yourself, then people always believe the woman. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And the women that are... The women that tend to be the abusers want to stay in power and in the abuser. And a part of that power is to make it seem like you're... the abuser.
Right.
To flip it. So if you were to even... They've probably threatened it too.
Always
if
the
you
victim.
Were to try to defend yourself in any way, it's not going to go your way, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. Myth number seven. Men are not emotional. False.
False.
Lies on my belly.
I have known some emotional men.
I know some emotional men. So men are emotional, okay? I don't care what y'all say. They've just been taught from adolescence that being emotional is synonymous with weakness, which we've talked about a bunch. Mm. And that weakness is a quality no man should be associated with. Through learning to care for others, playing with dolls, and other things typically associated with a female adolescence, women have been taught just the opposite and are encouraged to share how they feel. Men, on the other hand, play with action figures and video games that perpetuate violence and encourage toughness. Thus, they usually get angry and/or violent when emotional. Thankfully, gender norms are being challenged, and hopefully the expression of emotion will become less mutually exclusive among genders.
Ooh, yes. Myth number eight. Men don't like women to earn more than them. While it's been documented that women earn significantly less than men in the same position, men, at least modern men, are more than okay with women earning more dough, okay? Once again, extremely dated gender roles have taught us that men should be the sole provider of the household, and that's just not the case anymore, okay? It's 2021, almost 2022. And as this transition occurs throughout society, the occasional man, a weak one, may feel insecure about his financial situation, not because he's not supportive of her, but because he feels as though he isn't fulfilling his end of the bargain and is failing as a partner. I don't believe that. But in my opinion, if a man earned more than his partner for most of the relationship, right, but the female got a promotion and started earning more than he did, one would think he would be proud.
Right.
And love the fact that she's successful in her career. And you would think that that would be a huge turn on.
Well, it is for healthy men.
For secure men.
Right.
But
important distinction there. Okay. I mean, imagine being threatened. But, oh my God, you're making our lives better. How dare you?
Oh my God. Right. How dare you go further in your career than what?
Only a weak-ass man would feel that way. Anyways, myth number 9. If they don't finish, they don't find you attractive.
Is this a myth?
I don't know if this is a myth.
Keep reading.
Okay. So untrue, but understandable. We always tend to blame ourselves when something doesn't go right sexually. But a lot of men can't reach orgasm, and for the most part, they're the same reasons that we can't. It doesn't have anything to do with you. It could be something else, like alcohol, a poor diet, etc. Too many people regard the conclusion of sex as being the orgasm when this shouldn't be the case. Men fake orgasms for this very reason, too. And if you two enjoyed the sexual encounter, that's all that should matter. I agree with that, but I mean, this can't be every time.
Well, of course.
You
not.
Know.
And
you know, for some it is. Every time.
Some don't just get it at all. No, I agree. Now, I don't think men are faking orgasms as much as women. But
it's kind of hard, you know.
You have to be a really good actor.
Right.
If you're doing that with
mm-hmm.
a female.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't out-act us, okay?
Right.
You can't do it. You can't do it. Oh, God. I do agree that the overall encounter is what matters.
Yes.
Okay? Some things cannot be helped in certain situations, but like you said, don't make it every time.
Yeah, and you know, if you're having a quickie, you might just, you know, I feel like that's acceptable. You're in a rush. Just trying to, you know, get a little bit, but let me be real with y'all. If one partner never gets off while y'all are together, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Long term. You're doing something wrong.
Long term. It's not going to end well.
One time is okay. Anyways.
Every time. You need to see somebody about that.
You might stop getting text replies. Anyways.
Number 10. Men cannot be just friends with women. Believing a man and a woman can't be friends, it's just ignorant. But if you were to ask a handful of psychologists about it, they'll give you a ton of mixed answers, as they always do. For example, a psychotherapist says it's possible for men and women to be friends, but they'll at least consider taking the relationship to the next level.
I agree with that.
She says she thinks it's inevitable to cross at least one person's mind because part of the friendship is emotional attraction to the other person. Whether it necessarily translates to sexual is another story, but I think it would be very difficult for it not to at least be a consideration. Meanwhile, a behavioral expert disagrees with this one and says that men and women certainly can be just friends. Friendship is based on mutual respect and trust, not sexual attraction. But she does admit that it often does develop into something larger if both parties are single and are romantic relationship stemming from friendship that progresses to the next level will have a much healthier foundation than one that began with a one-night stand in a bar.
I can agree with both of those perspectives.
I do.
See, now, I do think men and women can be friends.
I do, too.
But I think both people have to be mature. Okay?
I think that men and women can just be friends. Am I going to sit there and say that men and neither one would ever or have never been attracted to the other? It's probably very rare.
Right.
Because I agree with the first statement that it would have had to at least crossed one of the person's minds.
A mental attraction.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be sexual, but you have to be somewhat attracted to the person to even want to be friends with them.
Right.
Friendships on all, it's another form of relationship, and relationships are built on many different things.
Yeah, I agree. Myth number 11. Women always say no and turn compliments away. Okay, let's get this one straight. If a woman is saying no to you or brushing off compliments, there's a good chance that she's not interested in continuing the conversation, or she believes the compliment to be false. There is also a good chance that she's sick of hearing people talk about her appearance and does not care about compliments regarding that part of herself. Either way, stop taking her no as a yes. And this is literally in every aspect of life, yes. Okay? Understand that being rejected by a woman is not an invitation to keep trying. Oh my God.
Thank you.
I just...
And this is sad that I even had to put this on the myth-busting list. Women... Just a blanket no. No is a complete sentence.
And let's be real. If a female or woman is interested in you...
You will know.
You're gonna know.
You don't have to be like, oh, she's just playing coy. Oh, she's playing hard to get. No, bro. I don't like you.
Right.
Get away from me.
Stop pretending no is yes.
Your breath stinks.
God.
Get your dragon breath far away from me and get out my face.
That's like the realest shit, though, because this goes all into... When we talk about, like, guys DMing you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you send me, hey, what are you doing, 20 times and I don't reply, quit effing messaging me.
Or if you send, hey, hi, hello, how are you? And you're just having a full-blown conversation with yourself in my DMs with no response from me.
And I'm not even opening them.
I'm not even opening them, but every single day, every hour, almost, I'm getting messages from you. You're weird.
Yeah.
I was going to say psycho, but that might be it. You could be that too.
You're definitely weird.
Definitely not getting... I'm not interested. If I was interested, we wouldn't have to DM.
We'd be texting or calling. And let
or hanging out in person.
And honestly, you just look desperate, which is a huge turnoff. Yeah. I mean, period.
Number 12. Men don't like when women ask them on a date. This is a myth, ladies. Okay? Listen up. Open your ears. Dating sites... Okay, this one you might have heard of, Match.com, told Business Insider that straight women initiate only 18% of emails between straight women and straight men on their site. If that's because those women are afraid of coming off too strong, here's a wake-up call, ladies. Another Match.com survey found that 90% of American men, not just Match users, say that they would be comfortable with a woman asking them out first. It's hot.
Yeah.
Do it.
I don't understand why women are afraid of this. I would, if I...
Go up to that man and shoot your shot, okay? Right. Shot clock is on.
Mm-hmm.
You only got 24 seconds, baby.
Yeah, if I'm interested in someone, I'm going for it.
Yeah, whatever. Or send them a drink. Do something to get their attention. Don't be afraid.
So, myth 13, nice guys finish last. We'll give you the bad news first, okay? Research suggests when it comes to flings, less nice guys have the edge. But if you're looking for something serious, go ahead and flaunt the fact that you volunteer at a homeless shelter or tutor elementary school students. That same study also found that selflessness is a desirable trait in a long-term partner, even more desirable than good looks. Let's face it. At the end of the day, everyone wants someone who's kind.
Yes.
Yes. Turn on.
You can be hot and you can be kind, but you could be not as hot and still be really kind, and that still makes you hot.
Right.
You know, so kindness wins.
It does.
Nice people. Number 14. Couples who live together first are better prepared for marriage. Apparently this is a myth.
It is a myth.
Okay. These days, it feels like everyone's living together before they even think about marriage, let alone asking about it. And honestly, if you ask around, most people believe it's what's best, because how can you really know someone unless you live with them?
I do agree with that.
According to research at the University of Denver, couples who live together before they are married or even engaged have a lower marital satisfaction and a higher divorce rate when compared to those who have waited until they were married. These researchers said that some couples who move in together without a clear commitment to marriage may wind up sliding into marriage partly because they're already cohabitating. So in other words, couples who are already living together can find themselves getting married out of convenience, not because they took the intentional steps toward marriage. When you start living together, your lives start merging. Your belongings end up together, everything's just both of yours. Until suddenly, it's a lot harder to make rational decisions about your future. And they feel that if a couple looks at cohabitation as a test period, it could be a sign that there is a significant obstacle to committing for life through marriage. Interesting. I think let me make sure I say this right. Just me personally, I don't know if I would want to wait until marriage to live with someone.
Right.
But do I think that I'm going to live with someone that I don't see it potentially getting that way? No.
Exactly.
I'm not just going to be living with someone just to be living with someone. But I can see where this is, where some people do that.
Yeah.
Well, let's move in together to save on rent. Let's move in together to do this. And
we've been living together, so might as well.
Might as well. So think about it from that perspective, guys. If you're living with someone and you're not married or even engaged, do you want to marry this person because you want to marry them? Or are you marrying them out of convenience?
Yes. All right, guys. Last but not least, myth number 15.
Very importante.
Myth. This is a myth. Jealousy is a sign of love.
Ugh. No, it's not.
No, it is not. Somewhere along the line, people got into their minds that jealousy was a glamorous part of love. I get the appeal, but jealousy is easily mistaken for desire.
Say that again.
Jealousy is easily mistaken for desire, okay? If you're young and immature out at a party, that's maybe what you're looking for, attention. But we must remember that attention does not equal love.
Yes.
And if you and your partner routinely try to make each other jealous, it's not really a sign that you love each other as much as it's a sign that you're playing off of each other's deepest insecurities. And honey, that is not love.
Nope.
It's actually extremely dysfunctional. Research reveals jealousy to be linked to traits such as low self-esteem, neuroticism, or a general tendency to be moody. Anxiety, insecurity, feelings of inadequacy, codependence, and an anxious attachment style. These are not exactly healthy traits for a romance. They're not healthy at all.
At all.
So next time your partner remarks on something you did and is disproportionately jealous, don't take it as a freaking compliment as much as an insight into their psyche, okay? Mm-hmm. Are you listening? If you find that you're trying to make them jealous, you need to look deep inside yourself and ask, what do I really even want out of this relationship?
Amen.
Oh my, I think that's my favorite one.
I can't tell you, and there's one particular relationship I was in where this person always, always tried to make me jealous some type of way.
I had the same situation, and I know we both know who we're talking about.
And I was younger. I'm not old, but I feel like it. That's, in my mind, I was like, but, you know, I know he loves me, or, oh, this is just, I made excuses for it, and it ultimately was not healthy for me, because I had to do a lot of self-rehealing and self-building of my own insecurities, of my self-esteem. It doesn't do anybody any good to be in a relationship like that. And if you're that person trying to make someone jealous, again, look inside yourself.
And I loved when it says, if you try to make each other jealous, it's not a sign you love each other. It's a sign that you're playing off of each other's deepest insecurities.
Yes.
This is why people end up with mental health problems. When your deepest insecurities are constantly played off of, that's not love.
Someone who loves you would not use that against you, would not weaponize your insecurities.
Right.
It's dysfunctional and it's toxic.
And when you do that, they're trying to hurt you on purpose. You don't do that to people you love.
Oof. Absolutely.
Honey. I like that one.
As we wrap things up, let's remember that as humans, we're all slightly obsessed with relationships. So think about it. Our deepest relationships are connections who bring us joy. They're sounding boards who keep us grounded, the source of stories that make us wonder, and souls who make us laugh. Relationships shape the lens through which we see the world. And on top of all of that, romantic relationships are loaded. We as humans ask a lot of our significant others, and the media narratives we are fed only pile on more expectations. In fact, the attributes people want in their spouses and romantic partners have grown exponentially in recent decades. And as we become more discerning about what we're looking for in a partner, our culture has also promoted some harmful ideas about how relationships actually work. But that's where we come in. Every week, we will do our best to sort it all out. And we want to thank all of you for listening. And if you have any comments or questions, please feel free to DM us on Instagram at co.signedpodcast. You can also rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and leave us voice messages directly on Anchor and hear yourself on the next episode. And that link is also in our Instagram bio. And you already know the drill.
Every single Tuesday.
We're coming at ya.
I feel like we sing it a little different every week for ya.
Every single Tuesday. So until next week. Bye.
Oh my God. Uh-huh. Oh my God. Oh my God. Uh-huh.